Well, welcome everybody, and good to see you all on this beautiful evening. Hopefully you've enjoyed the weather this weekend. This evening we're going to do a meditation on what's called cultivating bodhicitta. And you may remember that we've spoken before about this concept of the three excellences. And the three excellences describe how we should approach our meditation practices. And basically, it's fairly easy to remember. The expression that's used is good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. And the good in the beginning part is to approach our meditation practice with a heart of bodhicitta. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we go on this evening. But that's how we start, and that's what we're going to focus on this evening. The good in the middle part is this idea that as we do our meditation practice, we should practice with no attachment to results. In other words, we shouldn't get wound up about whether we're achieving anything, or whether we're making progress, or whether we're becoming enlightened or calm or whatever. But instead, we should just do the practice. And 2 weeks ago when we did the meditation on beginning again, that's really what that meditation was about. It was about not being attached to doing it right, but instead just being present and when we wander, beginning again. And then the final one of the three, the good at the end part, is to, at the end of our practice, to say, well, if I did achieve anything, I give it away. I'm not going to hold on to it for myself, but I'm going to do it for the benefit of all others. And that's why at the end of our meditations, we always do the dedication of merit. That's what that part is. So those are the three excellences, and what we're going to do this evening is focus on the first one of those, which is the generating bodhicitta. And bodhicitta, it literally translates to awakened mind, or sometimes it's translated to awakened heart-mind. And I actually like that translation. Back in the times when this concept was first brought about, they didn't really differentiate. The notion of the mind wasn't stuck in the head. The notion of mind was in the heart and the head. Okay. In fact, in some cultures, it was solely in the heart. The ancient Egyptians, when they mummified people, they actually threw the brains away because they didn't think it was a very useful organ. Okay. That's where they were. But I actually do like this idea of thinking of heart-mind, because when we talk about the mind, we quite often get kind of a little abstract and intellectual, but when we talk about the heart, we understand that it's more than just our thinking, it's our feelings as well. And so there's this idea of having awakened heart-mind, which is bodhicitta. And bodhicitta means more than just being awake or, you know, in some traditions, enlightened. It actually goes a step further than that. It's this idea of working towards being enlightened, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. And that's really important when we try to understand bodhicitta, that you're not trying to get something for yourself. It's not like, oh, I'm going to become enlightened and then aren't I going to be great? Okay. Instead, it's, I want to work towards becoming awake or to work towards being enlightened for the sake of all other beings around me. Okay? And that's a really important difference when we think of bodhicitta. And if you think of it that way, then the three excellences make sense. If you think about it, you're starting with saying, I'm working towards being awake or being enlightened, but not for my own sake. And then the second one is, I'm going to do the practice, but I'm not going to hold on to results for myself. And then the third one is, if I did achieve anything, I'm going to give it away. So you see that when we approach it this way from the point of view of the three excellences, it's not about us. It's about us serving others. And this concept, this whole concept of bodhicitta, was really developed in the 8th century by a master called Shantideva, or Shantideva. And you may or may not have heard of him. He's probably one of the most influential of the Buddhist teachers from that period. But he had a rather interesting life, and one of the things I'll do is on the website, when I do finally put this audio up, I'll make sure that I also provide some links to stories about Shantideva, because he was actually a fascinating guy. He wrote one particular teaching, which is very, very influential to this day and has been translated and commented on many times and is well worth reading. It's called The Guide to the Bodhisattva's Path. The interesting thing is that's the only thing he wrote, or the only teaching he gave that was written down for him. And it's basically, looking back now, all we know about him is this amazing masterpiece called The Guide to the Bodhisattva's Path, which, like I say, is very influential. In his day, he was regarded as a bit of a lackluster monk. In fact, his nickname was Lazy Bones, is how it's usually translated. The literal translation of Lazy Bones is eat, sleep, poop, okay? Because they felt that's all he did, okay? And they couldn't understand this monk that's all he did. But he gave this amazing teaching. And I'm going to read a couple of pieces from that teaching. And again, like I say, I'll put links on the website to more of it. But this, when we think about generating bodhicitta, this is what we're talking about. This is what he wrote. Whatever joy there is in this world, all comes from desiring others to be happy. And whatever suffering there is in this world, all comes from desiring myself to be happy. But what need is there to say much more? The childish work for their own benefit, the Buddha's work for the benefit of others. Just look at the difference between them. May I become food and drink in the aeons of famine for those poverty-stricken sufferers. May I be a doctor, medicine, and nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is cured. May I become never-ending wish-fulfilling treasures materializing in front of each of them as all the enjoyments they need. May I be a guide for those who do not have a guide, a leader for those who journey, a boat for those who want to cross over, and all sorts of ships, bridges, beautiful parks for those who desire them, and light for those who need light. And may I become beds for those who need a rest, and a servant to all who need servants. May I also become the basic conditions for all sentient beings, such as earth or even the sky, which is indestructible. May I always be the living conditions for all sentient beings until all sentient beings are enlightened. And that sentiment is really the core to this idea of having bodhicitta. And you'll probably notice in some of the language and the way that's written that this concept is not restricted to the Buddhist tradition. It's common in many other traditions as well. You probably recognize things, for those of you who came up in the Christian tradition, the prayer of St. Francis expresses very, very similar sentiment. You know, so this is not just a Buddhist concept. This is really a concept for all enlightened beings. This idea that enlightenment is not about gaining something for yourself, but being available for others. So what we're going to do in the meditation is this. Once we've got our bodies and our minds settled down, we will, as always, focus on the breath. And then what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to reread the passages that I've just read from Shantideva for you to meditate upon. But then what I'd like to encourage you to do, you've all got a copy of the Bodhicitta Mantra, sometimes called the Bodhicitta Prayer, which says, may the supreme jewel Bodhicitta that has not arisen arise and grow, and may that which has arisen, not diminish, but increase more and more. And what I'd like you to do is to, during the meditation, to silently recite that to yourself. And you can do that for as long as feels right for you. You can do it for the whole of the meditation period, or if you want to do it for a short period, and then just allow your mind to be quiet and contemplate what we've said, that's fine. So just recite the mantra silently to yourself for as long as feels right for you, and then carry on in contemplation afterwards. So that's all we're going to do for the meditation. I say all, that's quite a lot. The reason I like this mantra, I just want to say something about it. What's clear about this mantra is because it talks about that which is not arisen to arise and grow, and that which has already arisen to increase more and more, it actually acknowledges this notion that this is not just an intellectual thing that once you get the idea of bodhicitta, that's it, and you can move on. It's this idea that this is something that we work on, that we build and deepen in bodhicitta through our life, okay? That it's a journey. It's not just I've read that, now I'm moving on. But the mantra really emphasizes this idea that this is something that we grow and deepen in as we work on our own personal practices. Okay, is that clear what we're going to be doing soon? Okay. Any questions before we start? We start our meditation by taking a moment to let go of all the things that have been on our minds today. The good stuff, the not so good stuff. Thoughts of the week ahead, the memories of the week just gone by. Aware that some of those things are important and some of those things are really not so important. But for now, just giving ourselves the gift of being present here to meditate. And becoming aware of the sounds around us. Sound of the traffic in the street. Sound of our friends around us. Sound of the air conditioning. And just being aware and completely accepting of all those sounds. And now turning our attention to the place where the weight of our body presses down through the cushion and the mat. Noticing the sensation of pressure on your feet, ankles, legs, knees, backside. And aware that as your body presses downward, so the cushion and the mat press back upward to support you in this place. And beneath them, the studio floor the foundations, and ultimately the earth beneath us, are all pressing back up to support us here. And taking a moment to feel that connection with the earth, the same earth that we share with billions of other people, trillions of other creatures. And from that connection with the earth, noticing your pelvis and your spine arising from your pelvis, and take a moment to lengthen and straighten your spine. Maybe moving gently side to side, backwards and forwards, until you find the place where your body is naturally supported by your spine. And similarly with your neck and your head, gently moving your head, lengthening and straightening your neck till you find the place where your head is naturally supported by your neck. And as your body calms, allowing your mind to calm also. Not fighting with your thoughts, not trying to suppress them. But instead, when a thought arises, just acknowledging and letting go. Now turning your attention to your breathing, noticing the depth and the quality of your breath. Noticing the sensations in the whole of your body as you breathe. And allowing your mind to gently rest in awareness of your breathing. Using your breath as a place that your mind can return to if you become distracted. and with your mind resting in gentle awareness of your breathing, contemplate these words of Shantideva. Whatever joy there is in this world, all comes from desiring others to be happy. And whatever suffering there is in this world, all comes from desiring myself to be happy. But what need is there to say much more? The childish work for their own benefit, the Buddha's work for the benefit of others. Just look at the difference between them. May I become food and drink in the aeons of famine for those poverty-stricken sufferers. May I be a doctor, medicine, and nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is cured. May I become never-ending, wish-fulfilling treasures materializing in front of each of them as all the enjoyments they need. May I be a guide for those who do not have a guide. A leader for those who journey, a boat for those who want to cross over, and all sorts of ships, bridges, beautiful parks for those who desire them, and light for those who need light. And may I become beds for those who need a rest, and a servant to all who need servants. May I also become the basic conditions for all sentient beings, such as earth or even the sky, which is indestructible. May I always be the living conditions for all sentient beings, until all sentient beings are enlightened. And now silently recite to yourself the Bodhicitta mantra. May the supreme jewel, Bodhicitta, that has not risen, arise and grow. And may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. May the supreme jewel, Bodhicitta, that has not arisen, arise and grow. And may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. And now very gently return your awareness to being here in the studio with a group of friends. And now we'll practice the third excellence by dedicating the merit. May all beings, without limit, without end, have a share in the merit just now made, and in whatever other merit I have made, may they attain liberation and their radiant hopes be fulfilled.